B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Drags it over the line, high slot. The Bruins right out in front of them. Far side, the Caps trying to feed it out in front with three. And it's rimmed over to the near side as Carlson touches. Game over. Series over. The Boston Bruins, after dropping game one against the Washington Capitals, run the table. The Bruins are on to the second round of the playoffs as they down the Capitals here in game 5-3-1 and win the series 4-1.
All right, final hour, Felger and Mass here. We're brought to you by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. We come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. And on Mondays, the re-entry Mondays, brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. How's that for paying some bills? So we hit on everything from the weekend. Bruins, Celtics, mostly the focus. I think the Bruins are the lead, but certainly still a lot of meat on the bone. And rancid, disgusting meat, but it is meat on the bone either way with the Celtics. We also did a quick Red Sox minute on, well, there was a getaway day lineup yesterday from Alex Cora that...
an all-timer.
Curious about, you know, are the Red Sox in that kind of commanding position where they can be kind of giving games away?
No.
So we weren't too thrilled with that. And we also hit on Phil Mickelson winning the PGA and Brooks Koepka acting like literally like Nancy Kerrigan just got clobbered by Jeff Galuli with the tire iron walking up the 18th green because a few fans were surrounding him.
Spoon.
His bitchy comments. So that's on the table. We can circle back to those things as well. And it's all up to you. That's what we do on Mondays. All right. Here's Jake in the suburbs on the Capitals. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, regarding the man-to-man, I think you're dead on. And I think there's basically a difference in the series. Cassidy, in his interviews throughout the series, is basically mocking it in his blunt Cassidy way. He's essentially saying, like, there are things that we can exploit here. And I also, in that same vein, you know, you wonder with the man-to-man if Char even fit at all on the Capitals.
So
you know?
True.
Like, the only time they're playing him is when he's, you know, playing the zone on the power play. So not that that's why the Capitals lost the series. It certainly wasn't Chara, but it just, I think the zone or the man-to-man defense really, really killed him.
Okay, it's a fair call. I mean, I think the Capitals' defense breaking down was the turning point key of the series, even before you get to the goaltending. Because I think that the Bruins, for the most part, protected the house or whatever you want to call it, and Rask did not have that many sort of high degree of difficulty saves. He had to make a lot last night, but most of them were saves that, you know, you would probably make. And I think that's because the way the Bruins and most of the league plays D, and the Capitals playing that man-to-man, which is just goofy even to talk about, but it does seem like that would not ideally suit Zdeno Chara, which is maybe another reason he was barely on the ice last night. The whole thing, this series, I think being a referendum on the decision to let Chara go, I mean, that's how I went into the series, and so that's how I'm coming out of it. Scoreboard, that's over. If you thought the Bruins made a mistake on Chara, you're wrong. And that series just proved it. So, like, that's that. I was willing to let that play out.
I don't see how anyone could even argue that one the other way now.
Laviolette was petrified to use him. He was never out there against the Bruins' best players.
What was the number you had that he was out there 5-on-5 against Bergeron at one point? And how long?
Last night, 5-on-5 against Patrice Bergeron, he was out there for 16 seconds. Laviolette was petrified of the thought of having Chara on the ice with that Bergeron line. He wasn't going to do it.
You know what that tells you, 16 seconds? That it was 16 seconds more than Laviolette wanted.
No, right. It's get off the ice, get off the ice, get out of there. That's what that
how
is.
Long it took Char to skate off the ice.
Exactly right. Like, that, seriously, he wanted zero is what he wanted. We want no time with him out there. So as soon as Bergeron jumped on, he took Char off. 16 seconds. That's unbelievable.
Tells you something.
It does. And look, again, I thought the Bruins did the right thing. I think you talk about McAvoy a lot. The ascension of McAvoy is directly related to the departure of Chara. It is, whether people want to believe that or not. They had that hierarchy in place, and it wasn't going to become McAvoy's decor until Chara was gone, and now it's McAvoy's decor.
Jose in Boston on the Celts. Hi, Jose.
Hey,
Hey, guys. So let's just be honest. I'm 100% with Maz. The whole time I was watching the game, it was a no-brainer that they had no chance of winning the game. And they have no chance of winning the series. They might win one. But if you watch the post-game like interview with Kevin Durant, you know, he was kind of just giving the interview like, come on, like, this isn't even, you know, why am I even giving this interview? You know, it's kind of just he can beat this team in his sleep, you know. And there was one moment, though, where I thought we might win two games or even three games, and it was when Kevin Durant went up and he took that nasty fall, and I thought that it looked like he may have broken something, and he might have missed a couple games or even the rest of the season.
Yeah. Well, obviously not. But
when he landed on his back, I thought the same thing. I went, ooh, that looked bad. Like, he did, just any time a guy lands like that, you sort of, oof. Because the ground is hard. But I'll tell you what, you know, then obviously there was no issue there. But when you watch Durant play, have you ever seen a guy look more like he's dropping it in the basket when he dunks like Durant?
Just placing it in there.
He barely leaves the ground. And I was just checking as the caller was talking. He's got a 7'5 wingspan and he's 6'10, 6'11. So, like, he really literally must just reach out like he's putting something in the cookie jar. It's unbelievable. He barely leaves the ground. It's like effortless. He's so fun to watch, though, because he's so smooth. He could beat them by himself. 1-on-5.
Almost. Sir, I thought you had a chance to just show a little pluck and make it a little interesting. And again, setting up what is my favorite story, you booing Kyrie and sounding like a bunch of losers. Like, you can tell I'm into this. And I thought you had a chance. I was looking forward. I was rooting for you. I was. To win a game in Brooklyn, come back here 1-1. You boo Kyrie at 1-1 on the way to a 6-game series. You got something. Like, how do you like him now, Felger? Even for a day. So, like, I was rooting for that. I want that. I want that content, that back and forth. You're going to boo him at down 3-0, about to be swept out in four games, where they're basically have their feet up against you, laughing at you?
Now, yeah, I want him to hear me.
Well, I am pro-booing of Kyrie. It does take a different turn if you're down 0-3, staring the sweep in the face, and you're going nuts on Sunday in a full house. Like, that's a little cheesy.
Oh, my God. You wanted him back. You wanted him back.
I'll tell you, the more I think about it, they should play this 3-on-5. Harden, Kyrie, and Durant against any five the Celtics want to put out there. Wait, no, wait. No, 5-on-5. Those three and me and you. And I bet you the Nets still win. Yeah, I bet you we win. You think I'm kidding? I could stand in a spot just outside the paint and pretend to play D. Because you know what's going to happen if I'm guarding Kemba or whoever else? Sooner or later, he'll miss. Our guys will get it, and we'll knock a three down at the other end. We're good.
I thought you had a chance. Make it interesting. Nope. That was it. That was your chance, and you weren't even close. You lost by double digits, and the Nets did not even come to play, and you lost by double. They didn't even try, and you lost by double digits. Brian in the car on the Bees. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Maz, I'm surprised today. I thought after a 5-game series where everyone expected this thing to be 6 or 7 games, you know, pretty much any way you looked, that we would get a break from the anti-Tuka crowd, but it just seems like their behinds are chafed today, that he's getting any credit whatsoever for this series. I mean, this has been going on 10 years now, where any success he has just gets kicked down the road. But the second he has one bad game, we're quick to jump down his throat. I agree with everybody earlier that said we're going to get our annual spring tradition this year. I fully expect the Patrice Bergeron line to get outclassed by a first line of another team again, and then blame the goalie for it at the end of the postseason.
Okay, well, that may be the case. That may be the case.
No, I'll get on them, too.
I mean, I thought Rass was good last night, but I will admit at the same time, because I'm not as down on Rass as you two are. But I, at the same time, will say, like, this idea that all of a sudden now it's, you know, all the weight is off him, like he's got the monkey off his back. What?
Yeah, that's what's so mind-blowing to me.
Because he won the first round?
Yeah. Like people waiting to blah last night, get ready for the Blanami tomorrow at 2. You want an apology. Say something nice about Rask. Okay, yeah, he was excellent in the series. But you want to make the whole thing about him now? Like, the book has been written after this series? Are you kidding me?
Oh, idiotic. Please, listen to the people who, like, want to make that argument. It's a cross-country trip, okay? It's a cross-country trip. You don't get credit for making it to Pittsburgh.
The whole thing's gotten stupid.
You got to go the whole way. That's the point. Tuca's got to go the whole way.
That boy needs a Stanley Cup.
But I thought he was good. I actually thought he was good last night. He was really steady.
Who
really
didn't?
Really steady.
Who thought he wasn't good? Scott in New Bedford on Rask. Go ahead, Scott.
All right, so two things, guys. So Rask last night, to Murray's point, I knew the game was over. It was about 13 minutes left, second period. Orlov had a breakaway. Rask made a glove save, then skated out a few feet and threw the puck back up the ice. And I just knew the game was over there. And second thing, on booing Kyrie, I'll boo him for reasons that have nothing to do with basketball. He's pretentious. He talks philosophy when he has nothing, absolutely nothing about what the heck he's talking about.
So
he probably talks about.
So Scott, Scott, did you boo him here?
What's that?
Did you boo him here when he was a Celtic? Because he was doing the same thing.
I never liked Kyrie Irving. You guys and said that, but I didn't like him for personal reasons. Just the type of person he is. Nothing as a basketball player.
So you'd go to the Garden and boo him when he was a Celtic?
I would not boo him at the Garden.
Thank you. Okay, so there you go. That's just my thing. I know that's fan behavior 101. You boo the other team and cheer yours. But that's you. Like, I can't think like that. The show can't think like that. That's a pretty boring way to do a show. It's a boring way to think of it. And that's not the way I approach it. And if you really don't like the guy and you wouldn't like him here or there, then that's pretty consistent and okay. But if you cheer him when he says, I'm coming back, and then boo him when he leaves, it's like makes you look like a loser.
I can't remember whether it was you or Murray, but when do you use the right word? Insufferable. He is insufferable.
It's painful.
Well, he really is. He's not a bad guy, like, you know, malicious or like out to hurt people. You know, he's not like a, you know.
He was painful here, too.
Oh, yeah. My God, is he painful. Every time he opens his mouth, you want to take sleeping pills. It's just he's way too much to take. And I fell for it at the beginning. I did.
I didn't.
I thought, oh, geez, okay, this guy looks like he has half a brain. Boy, was I wrong. Like, talk about a guy who loves to try to talk so that everyone will think he's smart. And then you walk away saying, that guy's a moron.
Who's about to sweep your ass. And you want it back. But if it makes you feel better to boo him, go ahead. Go nuts. Who's going to stop you? We'll be back with your phones right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tuca worked hard to see pucks, and I think we worked hard to sort of push bodies out of there so he could see pucks. So just seemed very composed in there and sure of himself. And it makes it easier for, I think, everybody when you see your goalie completely under control and looks like they're not going to get a pee by him for the most part.
Can't get a pee by him. It looked that way last night, that's for sure. It was solid last night. All right, back to your phones. Ryan in Winchester. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, boys. I wanted to know who you guys would rather play in the second round. Obviously, I think I'd rather play the Islanders because we can easily shut down Crosby just like we shut down Ovi and their best players. So, and the Islanders had our back all year, and they're a good defensive system team, so I'd rather...
Pittsburgh more entertaining. I don't know. You could lose to both teams. They're just so different. The Pittsburgh's got better high end talent, guys who've been there, won at the highest levels. Crosby, Malkin, Letang. This Jeff Carter's come on there and done really well for them, putting the puck in the net. The Islanders less so. The Islanders have a couple guys you really need to worry about singularly. Barzal, starting with him, obviously. Nick Leddy, a good defenseman, but he ain't Letang. But the Islanders have better goaltending, far more structured, far more of a grind to play against. Pittsburgh will be a little more up and down, but there are going to be guys coming down the ice on you against Pittsburgh that are going to be better than you or better than the guys you have on the ice. And the Islanders, that's rarely going to happen. So pick your poison.
Yes. Yeah, I'll take the Islanders.
Yeah, and selfishly, from an entertainment standpoint, I want Pittsburgh just because I don't like the style that New York plays.
I'll tell you what, though. The Bruins have done well against Pittsburgh in the playoffs, haven't they?
Totally.
Historically, yes.
Yeah, like, you know, and I'm talking these Bruins, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going all the way back, you know. So, but I do feel like they figured out the Islanders at the end of the year. And I think Hall and Riley and Lazar, they all make a difference. So I think the Bruins are a different team now than they were early in the year. I'd rather play the Islanders.
You should beat both.
You should. Yeah, Pittsburgh, I think, is like, I was thinking about this yesterday. No matter who they play at this point, I thought, well, they should be favored.
So should being the word. I mean, I'm not saying that's automatic. Like,
wait, no matter who they play?
Well, but the one exception I came up with was Washington. I mean, Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh could be close to even.
You mean the next round?
Yeah, and honestly, potentially the one after that. Like, although I suppose there's no way to know that yet, depending on who they play. But I don't know. I think they got a shot here. I think that
if they play like this, they have a shot.
Yes, they're in the discussion now. Wiping out the Caps like they did, they were in the discussion anyway, but wiping out the Caps like they did in five games, they're going to be favored just about against anyone they play now.
Just like 2 years ago. Lekar in Boston, and how'd that work out? Lekar in Boston on the Celts. Go ahead, Lekar.
Hey, what's happening? My question is that if y'all are talking about the Celtics have to make big moves and stuff and make big trades for next year, who's going to be taking these players' contracts?
No one.
These contracts are so high for you to really trade. With the exception of Robert Williams, I can see them trading. But the Trey, Marcus Smart, or whoever, they get long-term contracts. They're going to be in this situation, I would say, for the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, it's a little strong, Lekar. You could get something for Smart. Someone would take Smart.
But I don't think the value is as high as a lot of people around here do.
No, but you'll get rid of his contract if that's what you're worried about, Lekar's point. You can get something for Marcus Smart.
No, a guy that they really shouldn't be afraid to shop is Robert Williams. Concerned about his injury history there. And, you know, it feels like it's always something. I know he was good Saturday. I know he's had a good season. He's been a bright spot for them this year. Don't be afraid to sell high.
Sell high. But I don't know. Danny's, you know, Langford, Nesmith, Robert Williams, like, I don't know. Is Danny ready to part? He's been hoarding those guys for years.
I mean, I would hope that he's ready at this stage. What else do you have to deal?
I don't know.
They're not going to trade Tatum. They're not going to trade Brown. They're not going to do that. I'd be surprised if they did. So what you hope is that Nesmith shows something this postseason, Robert Williams shows something, and somebody takes the cheese. You throw in Marcus Smart and a couple of picks, and maybe you can make a deal. And I don't know for who or for what. I'm just telling you. You got to go get another big piece.
Jim in Providence on the Bees. Hi, Jim.
Boy, these Tucker fans are really strutting around like peacocks today, let me tell you. When he shuts out a team in the conference finals and then turns around and shuts out another team in the Stanley Cup, then come talk to me. We're going to start raising banners for first-round save percentages and goal-against averages. This fan base is as soft as you get.
Well, the Tuca thing's just gotten stupid. But he needs only one thing. I don't care what his stats are, his numbers are. He could win a game 6-5. And if he makes the save when he needs to make it to win a championship, that's what it is. That's all it is. And so anything short of that is just not going to settle any argument. Not going to shut anybody up, nor should it. You have that kind of career, and you're that good, and you've had that many kicks at the can. If you don't push through, that's going to hang over your head, and it should. That's the way it works. That's the final exam. And we hold that against anyone in any sport who's that good for that long but doesn't win at a high enough level. He's not being treated unfairly. He's not being treated any different than any other goalie or quarterback or big-time athlete that has a long, decorated career, has multiple kicks at a championship, and doesn't win. They all get the same treatment. Can't win the big one. Soft, choker, whatever. It's nothing about, yeah, I mean, the Tuca people think like he's targeted. Not targeted. We'd do that with anyone. They all get the same thing. He's a goalie. What do you expect? And he hasn't won. It comes with the territory, man.
That argument is getting exhausting, though.
Oh, God. I don't even care for it. Kevin in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What do you got?
So when it comes to the second round for the Bruins,
What do you think is going to be the deciding factor, regardless of who we play, considering the Islanders had our number the entire regular season and the Penguins was more of an even season type situation? I just want to know what you guys think will be the deciding factor on.
I think we broke through. The Bruins broke through against the Islanders late. They had a couple wins against them late. Three in a row?
Yeah, they did. They won the last three.
So, like, the Islanders, I just think it's be patient. You know, be ready to win 2-1. And get back and be patient and play their game and
stay out of the box.
You should have a few more opportunities than them, or you should be able to do more with your few opportunities than them because you have more good players, and just let that play out. And that's sort of the thing about the Islanders. And don't get ahead of yourself and don't try and push it and just be happy to win it 2-1. And, That's that on the Islanders. You know, the Islanders are to Barry Trotz. You know, it's like when he was in Nashville, it's the same thing. He just grinds them, and they're always in the playoffs, and they may win a round or two, but they always, you know, ultimately they don't have the talent, and that only goes so far. So just make sure that you're the team that only goes so far against. We've got Adam in Nashville on Kyrie. Hi, Adam.
Hey there, Mike. You really got me thinking about being a loser for booing Kyrie. So I think tonight, when I go to the TD, or the next night they play, when I go to the TD, I'm going to start a chant because I just want Kyrie to feel all right about his decisions. So the chant goes like this. Things change. It's okay. Things change. It's okay. Things change. It's okay.
That's not bad.
No, it sucks.
Yeah. Oh, is that going to go anywhere
please.
Else? Is there a chorus to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, seriously.
You won't sound like such a jilted puppy sick lover loser. At least you won't sound like that.
Please yeah, come back. I'm gonna boo him.
Please come back, Kyrie. Please come back. We love you. Yay, you're staying. Oh, you left. Boo, I hate you. Your thing sounds better than that. It does.
Boo.
Mike in Providence, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, boo you.
Wow, that guy was a loser. I'm just gonna say that first almost
what. Spoon, so, he was a spoon.
Why would we boo Kyrie? He put on such a spectacle about how he was returning, and then he just completely bails. So, like, why wouldn't we boo this guy? You want us to give him, like, a standing ovation?
Well, so you want him back then? Oh, he dropped. I didn't drop him. So you wanted him back.
I do.
You're at least consistent there, Maz. You did want him back.
I'll tell you what, though. That's actually a good ploy. Give him a standing ovation. Like that,
exactly.
I would like.
Right. No, there you go.
That would blow his mind.
Yeah, that would completely blow his mind. You want to really mess with Kyrie's head? Give him a standing ovation. That's what you.
That's a good one. I
absolutely should do. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for being an a-hole.
I like it. Murray's update. Come back with one final segment of your wonderful phone calls. Cup open lines if you want to grab them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And James Harden will just dribble it across half court. And that will do it for game one. The Celtics defend. They played hard. They had the lead most of the night, but reality set in. And a 3-point game with 7 minutes to go. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant do what they do. Built the big lead, and the Nets will score a double-digit win in game one. The final score, Brooklyn 104, Boston 93.
Double-digit win, and they didn't even really try. I'm honestly disappointed. I wanted the Celtics to come back 1-1. At least make it interesting. Mike and Methuen, your thoughts. Go ahead.
This whole not booing Kyrie thing is the most bizarre thing you've gone on about. Imagine wanting to be, imagine like having a girlfriend talking about having a wedding and then she up and leaves you, right? Afterwards, you're going to want, you're going to hope she wants to date some guy with a face tattoo who ends up cheating on her for her sister, right? Like, he wanted to be with us until he didn't want to be with us, and now we don't want him anymore. I don't see why that's.
Yeah, you sound like you sound like a lovesick bitch. And I'm sorry to be so crushed about, you know, like, but I mean, it's like, yeah.
How is that abnormal? I don't understand.
Well, I guess it's normal. You just sound pathetic. You sound freaking pathetic, man. I mean, that's what it sounds like. And the ex-girlfriend analogy, I got it. I've never heard that one before. I don't mean to yell at your caller, but it's just like so cliche. It's like the ex-girlfriend, she left you. The ex-wife, she left you. I got it. I got the analogy. And then when you sit there all day crying and your beer ripping her, you sound like a freaking loser. You sound pathetic. Don't you? Yes, you sound pathetic.
So you're asking people to not have feelings. Like now I'm starting, like I was annoyed by this when it first came up and I'm getting annoyed again. So don't have feelings. Be a robot like me. You should be consistent. Okay, fine. If that's the case, don't say one nice word about Aaron Rodgers this season. Not once. I'm going to keep count.
I mean, I'll be critical when it's time to be critical.
Nope, the whole time. You don't like him. You want him gone. You want the team to trade him. You can't say one nice thing about Aaron Rodgers the whole year. Be consistent, Mike.
It's not a problem for me, boo.
All right, then I'm going to keep counting.
Yeah, I decided I want a boo.
No, again, yes, it's like your lover leaving you for another guy, and so you're sad, so you want a boo. Yes, and when you're sitting there booing and ripping your ex-girlfriend because she left you, you sound pathetic. Yep. Exactly. That's exactly what that is.
This goes back to I'm on the higher plane than you people. I wouldn't.
Well, no, but the whole human existence.
He's an alien being. He's from the future.
The human existence is trying to rise above those base sort of emotions, those sort of things. That's what we all strive to do, don't we?
Not always.
No.
We should be. We should be, though.
No, I disagree with you.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that.
Yeah, that's the stuff that defines humanity. Like, a lot of times that can be the good stuff. I'm not saying being necessarily, like, petty. This is a little petty.
No, this is petty.
No, yeah, I'm into petty. I'm into petty, too.
Yeah, they just blew your cover there, Maz.
I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass. They're not living on my planet. You think I care? Like, seriously.
I know I'm better than you all, and I know it, so.
Wayne and Grafton, speaking of his own planet, what do you got, Wayne?
Well, yeah, love is a four-letter word. Good thing for a country western song. And speaking of love, I didn't see much love between Tuca and Chara in the handshake line. Or Cassidy. I mean, I love Chara. He should retire, you know, with some class. My three favorite goals in the series, Craig, Pasta, Hall. Hall was amazing. And like I always say, nothing like a three-way.
Okay, Wayne, exactly my point. So I've heard about it. I still haven't seen the handshake. I still haven't seen it.
Well, the Tuca one?
The Rask-Chara handshake. Was it icy?
I thought it was a little, you know, quick.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was a little quick. I didn't see the Cassidy one, but I'll tell you what, with the coach, I half get it. Maybe Chara looked at it and said, you know, this guy didn't want me here. Or like with a coach, I always understand it. You never know how things went at the end. The goalie and the captain? I don't know. I wonder there. Like, and it's in contrast to all the other ones.
Okay, so I'm going to show it to us here just in the monitor in our studio. I hope you're going to show that to me, but keep going, Matt. The radio, no one else can see it.
Yeah, so look, as it relates to the, you know, when you watch Chara go through the line, a long embrace with Bergeron, there was even one with Pasta, Krejci, the guys he played with, McAvoy. He and McAvoy had a good embrace. You say, okay, there you get it. There's the mentor, there's the apprentice, I get it. When Tuca's like, handshake, yeah, thanks, okay, see you, bye. Like, I just thought it was really, really quick. Anyone who played with Chara, there was some acknowledgement of a relationship there, you know, a half embrace or a, you know, with Tuca, it was a handshake and see you later. Like, I thought it moved pretty quick.
Well, his last postseason run with him was abrupt because the guy left. Maybe he feels a little burned by that, especially when going into that bubble last year, Chara put his whole family, like the Griswolds, into a car and drove up from Florida. And then Rask was like, I'm good. I got
to
go.
All right. I'm about to see it. I'm going to give you the ruling.
Yeah. I wondered about it, too. I'd be lying if I told you that when I watched it, it was, you know.
It wasn't icy, but it was quick.
I thought it was a little quick.
I'd like to go there. I can't.
I thought it was a little quick.
It was, but it was the end of the line. It's the end of the line.
Okay, but they were together a long time.
So you know what? Okay, now that I saw it again, can you roll it one more time? Rask went in there for a little bump, a little breast bump. And I'd say if anything, Chara Char's the one that wanted to move, that moved on from him. I think Rask was ready for a longer embrace, and Chara was, I'm at the end of the line, I'm going.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it was weird. Again, they were together a long time. You pointed this out a million times. How long were Chara, Krejci, Rask, Bergeron, Marchand, how long were those guys together?
12, 13, 14, 15 years.
So, like, I would say keep it in the context of just those guys. Right, like even McAvoy. And McAvoy gave him an embrace because they were partners, and I get it. Yep. So, but the guys that were together for that long, that won a cup together, and I know Rask wasn't the goalie on the 11 team or the starter. That was quick. I you know.
Okay, good.
I wonder too. I wonder about this too.
So then take the next step. Why was it quick?
I don't know. I mean, you got to give me a little time to think about that one. I like Murray's theory.
It's the crock pot.
I hadn't. No, I agree. Put it in the crock. So plug that sucker in.
Put it on a high boil. Just spit something out. It's because Rask quit on the team last year. Yeah. Chara's last chance at it. And Chara holds it against him.
Yeah, that's immediately right. Went to. Again, look at that guy's dedication, the videos of the box jumps and things like that. But it was putting his whole family in the car, driving up from Florida, heat of the pandemic last year. Yep, we got to get ready and go to the bubble. And Rask got prepared too, but the first hint of anything going on with Rask in his life, he's like, no, I'm good here. I'm going to go.
I like Murray's theory.
And then went home and played golf.
Yeah. So my first instinct was last night, this tell you how my twisted brain works. I went, oh, is that a Czech and Slovakian thing? And then I went, well, no, because Rask is Finnish.
If you don't like it, move to Finland. Chara had a longer handshake with Jeremy Swayman. Now they've replayed enough 10 times in front of my face. He spent
leaned in and told him, you're the real goalie.
It was a little longer with Swayman.
It was a little frosty. I'm telling you, it was a little frosty. Yes, I will boo you.
So maybe he holds it against him.
I don't know. There's something there.
Adam in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Adam.
I just want to say, Felger, I don't think you can even believe this take. You're doing it for the talk show. The thing of it is exactly that Kyrie quit on us. And you're acting like it's just about him saying he was going to leave and then come back and not come back. He was the worst player in that Bucks series. He quit.
Hold it like a pizza. How come I didn't hear you before free agency saying they should get rid of him?
I called and you dismissed it. Maz said you need the talent, Adam. You need the talent.
No, Maz said that. I said get rid of him. Maz said get rid. I mean, I said get rid of him. I was ready to move on from him. I was ripping him as a Celtic.
So, and so was I. And so was most of Boston. I guarantee it.
Adam, thanks for the call. I'm yelling at you, but I'm not really. Lie. Most of Boston, my ass. Most of Boston, my ass. Most of Boston would have rolled it right back. And again, Kyrie was recruiting Durant. Kyrie was recruiting Durant. And the whole thing at the time was that Kyrie was going to be here and bring in either Anthony Davis or Durant or some combination or both. And that was the whole thing. Up until the night of free agency, I will roll tape from our NBC Sports Boston broadcasts where guys like Chris Forsberg and whatnot were still saying there's a chance that Kyrie and Anthony Davis are on this team.
But they're in the bag for the team. You can't count that.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, so that's not a reputable media outlet? But fans were into it, Stu, and you know they were. And they were holding out hope for that.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just questioning your sourcing.
Okay, well, fine.
I want you to come in with like a Brooklyn hat and jersey like Bill de Blasio did last week, looking like a fool. Like, I'm now super fan. Like, by the end
Jones
of the week.
Jones did that. He bought a Brooklyn Nets apparel.
Speaking of which, and this is a total tangent, but indulge me. Did you see Spike on the sideline?
Yeah.
Well, he got old and fat. Huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wow, Spike, lose some pounds, pal.
But either way, you cheered him when he said he was going to stay. You defended him for most of the year, and even until the last, you would have taken him back, and in fact wanted him back if that meant a package deal with one of his buddies, Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant. You're saying you wouldn't want to be the Nets right now? Can you really say that to me with a straight face? So what are you booing? That's all I'm commenting on. What are you booing? Are you booing the fact that he's an a-hole? Or are you booing the fact that he left you? And if you're booing the fact that he left you, it sounds pathetic. Matt in Saugus. Go ahead, Matt.
I'm not booing because he left. I'm booing because he said he was going to stay. I'm booing, just like that other caller said, because he quit in a playoff series and got torn apart by George Hill.
Let me tell you something, Matt. If he quit and said I was coming back and bringing Durant with me, you would have forgiven it in about 3 seconds less. The quitting part.
Let me tell you, Felger, the answer is no, I wouldn't have.
Yes,
I would not have. I was spending months telling people he wasn't staying because it was so transparent that he wasn't. I don't understand how the media fell for that. I didn't fall for it.
Okay, most fans fell for it. Most media fell for it. I didn't think he was going to leave until the last either.
Oh, you know, that guy was a higher being, too. He was another one that was up above the...
Especially when I told you a summer before he left for free agency that he was leaving.
Listen, I'm going to sit here and say this.
Give me credit.
I never wanted him to leave. I told you, kiss his ass at every turn, keep him happy, because that league's all about talent. And I'm not necessarily talking about you and Murray, Felger. But I look at it, and none of you people wanted to listen to me. None of you jackasses wanted to listen to me. Now he's teamed up with Harden and Durant, and they're going to take a dump all over you over the next week, and that's going to be the end of it. And then he's going to show up, and you're going to boo him, and he's going to put 65 on your fat head.
As you're losing 4-0. Is that going to make you whole? Is that going to do anything other than make you sound pathetic?
Yeah, you get a sugar high for a night.
Maz was right.
Meanwhile,
the talent.
Meanwhile, as these guys are literally separating their shoulders, patting themselves on their back.
Jay Stu was right again.
Maz was right.
The simulcast is throwing me up the logo of the new Maine Celtics. We can put that on the real broadcast here, can't we, Murray? How do you feel about the Maine Celtics and the
name
change?
Not sure they have the rights for that one.
The new Coke of sports team name changes. They had a fun name, the Maine Red Claws logo. An identifiable mascot that was all Maine. It was pure Maine, and they decided to throw it away. And for what? This thing looks so stupid. And not only that, it's like a sleight of hand. I think it's a way to change the conversation just a tiny bit away from the team, which is going to get knocked out of the first round and swept by the Nets. I really do. The timing of this is so indicative of a larger issue with the decision makers, with the Celtics. They're out of touch with the fan base and the market and the actual issues that need to be addressed. Like, tell us there's going to be real changes this offseason instead of, nah, it's just basically going to be the same thing. We're going to run it back again, hope for the best, and we're going to change the name of the Maine Red Claws. It's so stupid.
You ever seen a green lobster before?
Right. Doesn't it mean that it's not fresh?
He looks constipated.
It also, doesn't it, again, let's take just a little tiny deeper dive. It makes it sound less pathetic if you're being sent down to the Celtics. You know, I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
you know, I mean, we can really, he's a Red Claw. You really pile on that. Now it's different. Now he's he's still a Celtic. It's just a little.
It's a way to make Danny's bad draft pick still feel better about themselves. Well, you're not a Red Claw. You're still a Celtic to us because you're a Maine Celtic. And if you play good for the Maine Celtics, then you can play your way back to the Maine Celtics. we all hug it out and have rainbows and have a good time while they finish in the sixth seed again. Oh, it's just the timing of it, too. Gross.
It just sounds a little less pathetic to be a Maine Celtic versus being a Maine Red Claw. A little bit. It's a nuanced thing, but it's a subtle thing.
So correct me if I'm wrong here. They just took the logo and colored it green.
I can't remember what
that's all they did. Murray didn't
know.
No, they changed the logo. Used to be a better. It was a red lobster. It like what you find off the coast of Maine, which everyone likes to enjoy in the summer. Red lobsters, not a green thing. It looks like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This was a decision that made John Henry look at it and say, like, nice job, guys. This is something I'd do.
On that note, the final word comes your way next.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, there was some discussion of the PGA Championship today, and Brooks Koepka's whining about his gimpy knee, which led to Maz trying to make a new term work harder than Chris Gasper has with Jag Jones.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jeff Galooly was out there taking a whack at his knee. I don't know if there was someone was trying to do it on purpose.
What a baby this guy is. What a big freaking baby. Oh, you had to walk up 18 with Phil getting all the attention, so now you got to complain about someone hitting you in the knee? Shut up. This guy's a spoon. He's a complete, total spoon. Is what he is.
I like that. What does that mean?
My son uses it.
I love it.
It is. It's a good one.
Oh, terrific.
I do. I like it.
I don't know exactly what it means,
but
it's not good.
No, but it works.
It's soft.
You're a spoon. You spoon.
He walked 72 holes on that knee over 4 days and hit a bunch of shots from weird lies and in different stances, right? And if he won, you'd never hear any of this.
No, no. Listen, Tiger Woods played on a torn ACL and a broken leg.
Right.
And he's open. He didn't bitch about it once. You big baby. I can't stand this effing guy. He bugs the crap out of me. And then the other thing is, and not to get caught up in the golf part of it, they asked him about playing on Sunday with Mickelson and, you know, going back and forth. And he said, well, you know, we get to the fourth or fifth hole, and from there to about 13, you know, the wind's blowing left to right. I thought it actually favored a left-handed player over a right. Shut up. So now it was what? Because he's left-handed? That's why he won? You lost, you big baby. Oh, I can't stand that guy. I cannot stand him. He bugs the crap out of me.
Strong to quite strong there, man.
He is a spoon. That guy is a total, complete spoon. And the whole, like, seriously, go listen to the thing about being left-handed benefited Mickelson. Yeah. Every left-handed golfer I've ever known has bitched about the fact that they're lefties because the courses all favor right-handed players. They're built for right-handed players. Every lefty I know has said that, and for the large majority, they're right, with a couple of exceptions. Maybe this was one of them. I don't know, but that's not the reason why you lost, you loser. Oh, he is. He's a spoon. I hate that guy. I can't stand him. I'm so... Hardy, like, loved him 2 years ago, for crying out loud. I think Brooks Kaka, as we decided that we should also call him. Brooks Kaka. I think he's a freaking... I think he's one of the great frauds in golf.
I'm still trying to find the genesis of where spoon comes from here. I really can't find a real answer on the internet.
No, I know. I looked it up, too, just to make sure it wasn't, like, off limits.
Vile.
Yeah, no, but I think it's in play.
Yeah. Well, we thank Famous Last Words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.